All right, guys, welcome back to the second hour here of week 24 Roleplay Swan Song. Jeff has moved spots. We're all good to go. I don't know.
Back in business.
Oh, are we having audio issues?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Then we're good. We're fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Good. Everything's good. We're all good.
I asked if they could hear me like three times and no one said anything. So it's like weird internet thing where you're like, oh, God, they can't hear me. And then they're like, you totally can. We're just too lazy to fucking answer your question.
Exactly.
Takes so much effort.
True. All right, what's
it up? Happens in CSGO all the time. You're like, okay, guys, we're going B, and like no one goes B, and they're like, can you guys hear me? And then later you're like, hello, and they're like, shut up, Jesus. And they're just like, well, I didn't know if you could hear me. Like, just stop whining.
You're so loud.
I know.
Exactly. Adam.
All right. So,
also, Adam, you're alive. You survived the fire last night. We didn't even know.
Oh, yes. It. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Ragnaros came over.
Yeah.
There was just a fire alarm in my building right at the end of Mirror Shades.
We cliffhangered on a very important role.
Yeah.
And it sucked.
What's in the box?
So tune in two Mondays from now for more Mirror Shades.
Yeah. Or on YouTube.
Back to the Role Play Swan Song.
All right. So it's about, I don't know, like 4 in the morning, maybe. You're all asleep or like settled in wherever you're going to end up.
I'm still not on the ship, right?
Yeah, well, you're back in the hotel.
You're the only one in the hotel.
Yeah.
And, well, he's not the only one. So there's a knock on your door, Higgs, on your hotel.
Am I at
door.
The ship or not? Like, I didn't.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, you're on the ship.
You're with Prosper. Yeah.
You were on guard duty.
I don't assume I wake up. Or do I hear
it? Yeah, no, I think it wakes you up enough that you notice that someone's knocking at the door.
House? No, it's 4 in the morning. No, thank you. No housekeeping.
Housekeeping?
And then there's, like, quiet, and then you hear, on the other side, you hear, Higgs. Higgs is Woo. Are you up?
Oh, I thought that was your Vincent. That sounded kind of like Vincent.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Don't worry. You'll see why there's a connection between the two.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. I get my. Having just had Prosper attacked in his room, I have my laser pistol behind the door as I open it.
But he is in his underwear. It's
I am still in my underwear. Yes.
Of course. Okay. So you open the door, and you see Wu standing there. He's got like a mostly empty bottle of some kind of like liquor in it. You can't read the label because it's written in Chinese. He smells terrible. He's got like a blue like smudge on one lip, and he looks like totally out of it. And he's like, I lost my room key. Can you help me? And he like kind of staggers in the room a little bit. It's like swaying.
Okay, I open the door and maybe usher him in, sit him down in the chair.
Okay, yeah, so he kind of like flops down in the chair.
Yeah, and then can I just turn on all the lights at once?
Yeah, you just hit a button, they all
turn on. I turn on all the lights at once.
Okay, he then, like winces and like...
Well, as I do it, I put the gun to his head and say, is that blue fever in your face?
He's like, rubs it, he's like, I don't know. Lipstick, maybe?
Woo, this is life or death. Answer me truthfully.
I don't remember. I don't remember.
If I take my pinky.
Kind of swats at you a little bit.
If I take my pinky, is it blue residue like blue fever would have?
Make an intelligence check.
Okay. This is always good.
Especially for
That went great. I mean,
intelligent.
I think it's maybe like some blueberry muffin, perhaps.
Do they make
those? I'm not even sure if they really exist.
There's a chance that it's a blue fever, but it could also be like makeup. It's really hard to tell.
Okay.
But there's just a smear of it like on the bottom lip and like on part of his chin.
Okay. I walk back over like
pistol. Could be a Smurf.
Yeah, he could have been the Smurf. I walk back over. Pistol in hand and kind of like look down both ends of the hallway. Do I see anyone?
No. No, hallway's clear.
Okay. I shut the door, lock it again.
Oh, God.
Okay.
He's, when you turn around again, he's got the like bottle in his hand and it's like empty now and he's just like holding it and he's like.
Bottle of what?
The bottle he was drinking from before. Oh. He's like,
Oh, he's got a bottle of blue fever. Yeah.
He throws it on the. He's just drinking liquid blue fever out of a two.
Make an intelligence check. Yeah, oh, he's drinking out blue fever.
Yeah, so he just like, yeah, he tips. He's like, hold on. Drops it and he gets up and kind of wobbles a little bit and he's like looking around at your furniture and like trying to figure where you keep your booze.
Woo, do you need. Okay, one sec. I'll make you a drink. One sec. I get so, up, like, go to the restroom, maybe like. Act like I'm putting a bunch of like ice into a thing and shaking it, but I'm really just making iced water.
Mm-hmm.
And then I come back and here's the good stuff. Here you go.
So he takes it, like drinks it, kind of looks at you like, yeah. And swishes it around the glass, looks at it again. He's like, Prosper, man, that fucking guy. I don't even know.
Yeah, I heard you helped him out in the fight, according to Sicarian.
Yeah. I shot a man, Higgs.
I heard that.
Like, he tries to make gun hand while he's holding his drink, and he like, kind of spills some. He's like, sorry.
Carpet. Nope. You played a great role in the epic world of space and death and life. It was grand. I'm just rolling my eyes the entire time I'm saying this.
He's like, look, Higgins, I know you kill people all fuck time, but that's not what I do. I fix ships, man. I make it go faster.
Was that your first
swan song? That ship. God, I love that stupid spaceship. Takes another drink.
Woo! Was that the first time you've killed someone?
No. Yes. I don't know. Sure.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay. All right. Keep drinking that drink. You'll feel good, really good. No time. Just keep it up.
Okay.
And then I go over to the phone, call downstairs.
Okay.
What room is Connor Wu in, please? Can you please tell me the room number?
Yeah, they tell you. It's like you guys are all in the same like hall. And it's just like he's next to Mr. Sicarian, like down the hall past the elevator.
Okay. This is Captain Higgins. Connor is with me and he's in my room. Is there any way you can just open his room up for me in like 5 minutes?
So he hears his name and Connor's like, yeah, get us some prostitutes.
No.
Higgs.
Okay. Yeah, I got the prostitute. We don't need any prostitutes. Can you just open the door for me?
I will have 3 of them, please.
Okay. We'll get 4. I need 1 too. No prostitutes, please. That's 0.
So they're like, they say, just take him to his room. We can unlock the door automatically from here.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Hang up.
Okay.
And I'm like, woo, we're going to your room.
He's like, I don't think I can make it, man.
I got you. We're going to help you out.
I'm pretty comfortable here. And he like kind of like slides down his chair really slowly.
I'm trying to think of a way to find how fucked up someone is without blood.
Make Higgins, an intelligence check.
Higgins, do you remember the octopus, Higgins?
Yeah, I remember. Yep, I remember Howard.
That octopus was an asshole.
He was all right. I mean,
that guy. Bad. I swear to
hey,
God.
Hey, keep it down. If people are sleeping around here, man, I don't want a noise complaint.
Sorry.
I heard the. Hold on one second. The phone's ringing. I like walk over to the phone as if it's ringing. I pick it up. The prostitutes are here. Oh, okay. I'll be right over.
You hear him just kind of like, he's like, you turn around, he's just kind of like quietly sobbing to himself. He's like, I don't want any prostitutes.
Wait, the prostitutes couldn't make it? But the room's still open? Okay.
So you hear the like clattering of the ice in the glass as he like drops the glass on the thing. And when you go back to look at him, he's like got his head in his hands and he's just like full out sobbing into his hands. And it's just like, I didn't mean to, I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to, but they were going to kill him. And he's just like weeping.
I just kind of like put the phone down. I maybe walk over to him with a little bit of haste in my step. And I get down like on the level. I put both my arms on his shoulder and maybe like pick up his jaw. So he's looking right at me.
Yeah.
And then I just slap the fucking shit out of him as hard as I can.
Okay.
Damn.
Like, woo! Woo!
All right. All right. So, you slap him hard in the face. His like head snaps to the side. He like puts his hand up and he looks at you and he starts laughing. And he's like, "You want to do that, Higgs? I'm a killer now. I can kill you and I can kill Piani and Prosper and kill a spaceship, kill this whole fucking planet. I don't care. Kill myself.
Will, you're not a killer. You're a fucking mechanic. All right? You're my mechanic. That's all you are. You killed someone because you were defending the ship. You're not a killer. It was self-defense. You're going to be fine."
How does he do it, Higgs? How the fuck does he sleep at night?
Who?
You know who I'm talking about.
No, typically people have names associated with it.
The big guy, the armor.
Yeah.
He's not actually that big, by the way.
You're bigger than Wu.
Yeah.
That's true.
We'll have a conversation with him tomorrow. You can ask him.
You have a robot on the ship. Why?
I don't
Why?
Know.
Why? And he like grabs the front of your shirt and he's like, "Nothing makes sense anymore."
I just like bat his hands down. It's like, "Will, you got to calm down, man. You just sleep it off."
I am calm. Shut up.
Just sleep it off. If you want to sleep in the chair, Phil, there's a bed right here. I'll go sleep in your room. I got to take care of some stuff.
So kind of like he starts to get up and he's like, "Okay, I just got to go." He like points. He thinks he's pointing at the bathroom, but just pointing like at a wall. And he's like, "So I gotta." And he like gets up and like, kind of like staggers sort of towards the bathroom.
Yeah, if he's going towards the restroom, I help him out.
Okay, so you get him in there, and he spends the next few minutes throwing up. And then you know, you go back to check on him, and he's just kind of like asleep, like with his arm under his head, like on the toilet seat, just like passed out, like drooling on himself.
He's on his side.
Yeah, he's just like leaned up on the toilet.
I kind of just stare at him, just like, "Well, that'll do," and just like lower the light down.
Okay.
Just let him sleep. Go back over towards. I assume we have like a computer or workstation here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Maybe like before I was going to sleep, I was typing an email and I just never sent it.
Yeah.
And I go over and hit send on an email to Captain Buford.
Okay. All right.
And the text on the email, I guess for those for the viewers, it says, "Hey, Captain, told a story about you the other day. It'd be nice to see you on Cabral," and then / Higgs.
Okay, cool. Captain Buford. Cool. Alrighty. So, for those of you who missed the end of the last session, or maybe you don't remember, the implied connection here is that story that Higgs told about his old captain and being put in a situation. Looks like the mystery of whether that was a real story or not is percolating a little bit. So,
unless the email is also to nobody.
That's right. So, Captain Buford's Men's Beauty Supplies.com.
There you go.
So, okay, cool. So you send that message off, and with the sound of Wu sort of snore crying in his sleep, fall asleep on the hard bed of your hotel room.
All right.
So the next couple of days pass relatively uneventfully unless you actively try to do something.
I just make sure Wu wakes up and he's normal.
Okay.
Yeah, he's hungover and upset, but is more himself.
Within the next couple of days, I mean, I would go see Wu, and I would say something, you know, like, I don't know that we need to have a scene about it, but I would definitely be like, "You saved my life. I would be dead if it weren't for you."
I think that he just blows you off. He's just like, "I don't want to talk about that. Like, it's fine, obviously. This is what we do. This is what life is."
That's fine, but I want to make sure he knows that I'm grateful.
I would say that, like, the very next morning that he wakes up, is he coherent enough to, like, does he just seem normal, like a bad hangover?
Yeah. He obviously doesn't remember why he's in your room or whatever, but he doesn't make a point of, like, asking you about it.
Okay. I don't tell him if he doesn't ask, but I do ask him if he did blue fever. I don't, How does one do blue fever? Is it ingested?
It's an inhaler.
Okay.
So you ask him, and I think he... I'll make a perception check with wisdom.
A perception check with wisdom?
Yeah, just 2d6 plus or minus your wisdom bonus, and if you have perception.
That'll go great. 2.
Okay. Something complex happens, whether he's lying to you about the blue fever or something else is going on. There's a lot of like emotion happening in Wu when he responds. So you're like, did you do blue fever? He's like, no, of course not. But he really means something else that's not that. But Higgs doesn't know what.
Oh, okay. All right. I ask him, can I ask him who he was with?
Yeah, I think he just says he was like, I don't remember. I remember leaving the hotel.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. Well, go to the ship if you need to tend to it. We got a couple days, obviously.
Yeah. So when he mentioned the ship, he's like, it's like, oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, if I'm not there, that thing's just going to fall apart. So I better go.
Yeah.
And uses that as an excuse to get away. So, Mr. Scarion, is there anything you want to do? Piani, anything you want to do before you...
It cut out a little bit. Did you say Mr. Scarion?
Yeah, either of you. Like, if anything, anybody wants stuff to do on the planet.
I don't think so. I don't need to have an... No, because we're doing the cargo thing with James, so I'm sort of tied that up with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm good then.
Okay. So I guess the day before you leave, so on the 3rd of November, maybe that morning, you get a call from the hotel front desk, Higgs. That's a transfer from Rajani Van Dorn. It's okay. A direct call from Miss Van Dorn.
All right.
And so she comes through. It's just an audio call, and she's like, "Higgs, I have something that belongs to you."
Yeah.
You want this body or not?
Yeah, where are you at?
I'm on planet.
Okay, well, I mean, can you send it over as, you know, cargo or something to the Swan Song?
No, I want to have a conversation with you and your crew. I'd prefer if you came to pick it up.
Okay, that's what I figured. Yeah, can you just bring the body over to the Swan Song and we'll have a conversation?
No, I don't think so. I'm going to send you a location. You can meet me there in an hour.
All right, we'll see you at the Swan Song, and then I hang up.
Okay. All right. So you get an email, like a communication subsequent, that has just like GPS coordinates. It's like a location in the city.
I look at, oh God. And then I try to find out where it's at.
Okay.
Google map it.
Yeah, I mean, you just use like the exchange mapping service. It's an unlisted building. There's no like business here or anything. It's in an industrial part of town. It's like a ore processing plant or something in that area.
Can I make a cultural criminal roll to call the people that picked up the body to see if they know anything about the location?
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't even necessarily just call them. You just make a bunch of calls to people you know to be like, hey, did anybody know about this place?
Yeah.
Yeah, do it.
That's what I would do. What do you mean to base? I guess it's still a 2d6 plus 1.
Yeah.
Ah, fuck. 5.
Okay. Do you want to reroll? You get one for every...
Yeah, sure. Why not? Yeah, 5.
Oh, man. Higgs. Okay.
Look at those rolls. It started off 10, and now we're at a 1, a 2, a 5, and a 5.
Mm. Disintegrating. Okay. Do I get any information? No. The plant, the like specific processing facility, belongs to like some subcontract of one of the Mandarin's processing facilities. Like it's not a listed public place.
Okay.
Nobody really knows anything about it. They're like, it's a factory. That's where all the factories are.
Okay. After those failed things, I just call up Sakarian.
Okay.
Mr. S, this is Higgins, if you didn't catch the voice. Hey, Rajani wants to meet us somewhere to pick up the body, you know, of you know who?
Rajani is in the one that may have sent agents to kill Mr. Prosper?
Yeah, I tried to get it to be at the Swan Song, but she insists. It's at some unlisted factory. Said to meet us there in an hour. So, you want to do this?
There's like a momentary pause, and for the benefit of those that are watching, Sakarin just kind of looks down at his thunder gun and says, yeah. Yes, I do.
Nope. Okay, I didn't expect you to be happy. That's kind of odd. Okay. Well, let Pi and Prosper know, and I'll meet you guys. I'll meet you guys there in about an hour. You want to bring Wu? Have you talked? You should talk to Wu, by the way. He's having some issues with the other night.
Probably best.
What?
Yeah, it's probably best to leave Wu out of this. I would imagine it's main cast only. I would say.
Okay. All right. All right, I'll see you there in an hour. Hang up.
I guess I knock it, because it's Prosper and I on the ship, right? Is Piani here as well?
Piani's there as well, yeah. It's early enough in the morning that you haven't seen them. They might still be asleep or whatever.
Then I go and I knock on Piani's door first.
All right, Piani. A knock on your door wakes you up, which is probably kind of unexpected because you were on the ship alone.
Right. So I guess it's somewhat startling.
Yeah.
But who's there?
It's Mr. Sakarin.
Come in.
I just kind of open the door, stick my head in. Assuming I don't see anything weird, I just say,
What are you doing on the ship?
Mr. Prosper wanted to talk to Pi. There's much to be discussed about that later. But for right now, the syndicate's agent, Rajani, is asking for a meet to get the body, it sounds like, of... God, Mr. McCrary. Wow, I actually remembered it. It's probably a trap. It's probably best that you come prepared. So arm up, and we're going to leave in about, kind of looks at his combat watch or whatever. And
yeah, says, combat watch.
He says, we should leave in about 15 minutes if we're going to make it there early.
Just a watch where the dials are knives.
Yeah, swords. Yeah. It's a monoblade watch. It's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I was reading one of my skills. why do you think it's a trap?
They're the ones that dispatched the agents, if we can call them that. It's more like local thuggery, to kill Mr. Prosper in his bedroom. Or at least extract information from him, not to kill him. So it's an aggressive stance, I would imagine. And they asked for a meet and refused to go to the Swan Song, which is, in my line of work, a pretty clear indication that they want to kill us. Or at least have the upper hand to try.
All right. I think, like, Piani's just like, fuck it. We got a job to do.
Kind of knocks on the door and looks around and says, okay. And then he goes to Mr. Prosper's bedroom.
Yeah. Prosper is ejecting a CD from his, you know, data console in his room or something like that. And on it, he's writing, Edith Piaf, je ne regrette rien. And I put it into it's probably not a CD, right? It's probably like a little tiny data disk.
Data chip, yeah.
I put it into a container. I say, entrez!
Sakarin,
come in!
Yes, opens the door. Says, Rajani, the one that perhaps dispatched those thugs to your hotel room last night, has asked to meet with us, so I'm sure you understand the implications. Please suit up and be ready to go in 13 minutes and 36 seconds, and then we'll make it there fairly early. Strategize a plan, and hopefully finish a goal to get some of that dank experience that we need so desperately bad.
Sync up my military watch. 13 minutes and 28 seconds. Chink! Yes.
Great.
And I take the data disk and I go over to Wu's room on the Swan Song and I put it on his pillow with a little sticky note that says, from Prosper.
Okay.
Yeah. And I go back to my room and I get, what's a good French name? I get Amélie. My sniper rifle.
Un petit Amélie.
Yeah, there's like a big, nice. like gray steel box, and like I open it up, and like on the lid is written in like, you know, cursive, Amelie, and there's just this disassembled sniper rifle there. So I So I pull it all together, check down the sights, you know, tweak a couple settings, thumb in like what is it like one round in the chamber because it's one shot at a time, and then I sling it over my shoulder. I'm ready to go. Zit! That's that. The woven body armor and the zip up.
Cool. All right.
How many more days do we have on planet?
Well, the ship is ready today, basically. Oh, like okay, Wu has sent everybody like, check out of the hotel, boys. We're getting out of here.
Okay. I assume all the others have checked out. Or no one has checked out.
Yeah, I mean you don't have to like actively check out, but they all kind of left with all their stuff.
Okay, yeah, I would assume I'd collect all the things, and maybe I'm doing that last like look around to see if I've got everything. I'm like checking under the bed and stuff like that. Then I end up texting Sakaarin, and I'm just like, bring the nades. I need at least 5.
Oh shit.
Sakaarin packs 10.
Yeah. And then I check out of the hotel and pay for all that stuff. Make my way to the maybe I guess I send the bags after I get out of the car to the Swan Song as well, and just have Wu pick them up.
Okay. Yeah, I mean you can just hire like
a carrier, a
porter.
Yeah.
Yeah, a porter to take them for you.
Sure. And then I make my way on to the building.
Okay. Sounds good. So are you all meeting somewhere outside of there first, or?
Yeah, I would think so.
Okay. All right. So the building is part of a larger, block, like a city sort of mega block of, processing facilities, mining equipment, storage. So when you get there, like you've entered into an industrial neighborhood, and there's these like massive like metal towers just spouting like fire and smoke into the sky where the fuel is being processed. There's fairly little traffic, a couple of like big like cargo vehicles coming in and out headed towards the spaceport or from the spaceport to move cargo. And as you get closer to the neighborhood where your address is, you notice that the spire that comes up out of this area isn't running. It looks like sort of semi-active, but also like they're not getting a lot of like traffic right now. You're way the fuck out in the middle of nowhere. There's no casual foot traffic out here. It's the parking lot of the city. So you guys meet a couple of blocks away, maybe.
I'm outside. Curious, Adam.
Yeah.
How many days has it been? And oh no.
Been 2.
And was I taking full rest on any of those days?
Yeah, you have 2 days of full rest.
Okay, cool. So that's 12 hit points back, which puts me at 13. 17.
Were you?
I was at 5 hit points.
Okay.
Because you got to ignore one hit.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I ignored the one that would have dropped me to 1 hit point.
Yeah. So you're all in this little, like, kind of, like, indistinct, like, dim sum place, like this dingy, like dim sum restaurant full of workers. So folks in like coveralls, and they're just like breaking for some meal. And you guys are all at like a table.
This is where we said to meet?
Yeah, this is where the closest place you're going to meet before you go to this actual place. So this is where you guys are meeting as a group, because you didn't go there together.
Okay.
You know, local area, like, do I know where our meeting with Van Dorn is?
I mean, you could look at a map, right? You don't know anything about Majid, but
yeah,
I mean, it's several blocks away from here, far enough that you're kind of out of the way of it.
Are we getting there early enough that we could case the place and I could find somewhere nice high with an advantageous position?
I mean, you could try if you want to go there.
Sounds like
what?
Like you want to make a tactics roll.
Yep, that's pretty much what I want to do.
Okay, yeah, go for it.
Can I aid with my tactics?
Yes, if the two of you want to go and do that.
Sakaarin wants to help him as well.
Right. So, Piani, you are alone in the dim sum restaurant.
Higgs, Sakaarin, and I are looking at the area.
Shoveling down dumplings.
If Sakaarin is going, I don't need to go.
Okay.
Because I'm technically not even going to fire a gun.
We can all help, right?
Maybe I'll just say, like, yeah, that corner looks good.
Thank you for your help, Mr. Higgins.
I do help.
Does he have me plus one?
Yes, you get another plus one.
Okay. I rolled a seven. Okay.
All right, so what do you
think? Does that give me a second plus one?
You're looking for a general. No, you just get the one plus one.
Okay. I got a nine.
So you're looking for what? What's the.
Like, I'm looking for basically anywhere I could be secured away with my sniper rifle overlooking the events below.
Sure. So the actual building looks to be like a garage, like a cargo vehicle garage. So on one side of the street, it's a long, it's just like a long wall with some windows. And then there's a door to like maybe the office. And on the other side of the street, there's a big open area. And then there's a wall of like shutter doors for cargo trucks to pull up to. So you can't really see what's inside, but kitty corner, you could cover both the office door and the cargo doors.
Okay, yeah. I guess I radio Higgs and I say, Monsieur Higgins, did Rajani specify that she wanted all of us present, or is this a meeting between you and her?
She didn't say who. I can go in alone if you want. I don't think that's the smart. I mean, maybe. What do you think?
Well, if I were missing and that would be a problem, then that would be challenging. But if I were missing and that were okay, then I found a nice place where I could cover both exits with my sniper rifle and potentially eliminate anybody leaving or coming that we don't want.
Yeah, we can put you up there. Knowing Reggiani, she probably knows you're already down here, but if you want to be up there and you feel safe, that's fine.
Okay. Yeah, so I go ahead and I guess I'm trying to be stealthy when I get into that position.
Okay.
But I'm climbing up onto a catty corner sort of ledge overlooking the two exits. What did you say? There was a door and like a cargo bay?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'll jump you to the map so I can give you kind of more specific information. So there's an open area to the left of the building here where there's several doors that you could pull trucks up to.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, in that area. And then
Yeah.
It's kind of like along that way.
And where exactly?
And there's another smaller door over here. It might lead into like an office area.
Yeah. So I'm kind of up over here in the upper left.
Yeah, that would be what I was saying. Yeah, across the street, you can kind of cover both sides of the warehouse.
Which door would we enter from?
It would probably be expected you'd enter from the top one, right? Because that's where humans go. Human traffic goes through there.
Yep. Now, Adam, let me just confirm. This ledge that I found is within 1,000 and/or 2,000 meters of these doors.
Yes. Yeah. You're within within 3,000 feet of both doors. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. I get on up there.
I'm glad you asked. Actually, you're 76,000 yards away.
God damn it. I try to be as stealthy as possible when I get into position.
Okay.
Adam, what is the police state on this world?
Private security forces for the most part. The government
super stealth.
That was your stealth? Yeah, okay, I was gonna ask you. So the government is primarily in the finance sector. Yeah. So their job is just to make sure that they make a shit ton of money. It's run by, you know, a cabal of corrupt mandarins who just want to funnel money into their own pockets fighting each other. The police are just their private forces protecting their shit. So there aren't really any in the traditional sense.
So if a gunshot goes off in this neighborhood, what happens?
Fucking nobody notices.
But also, so there's no casual traffic or anything.
Yes, like there's no, like, anyone who's here, like in this area, would be like a truck driver, basically, or like a worker in one of these facilities. And like I was saying before, you notice that this block seems to not be currently in operation.
If an explosion goes off in this...
It depends on what the explosion damages. If it's just like a really loud noise and some fire, that happens every like 45 seconds or so because there's... I mean, there's these... You're in an industrial area, right? So there's these like smokestacks that are just gouting flame into the sky, and there's all kinds of like steel smelting noises and stuff. So, yeah, there's a grenade going off. Nothing.
What would it take to get police en route?
You would have to damage something expensive that belongs to someone who has forces to send. So like a nearby, like shooting like a rocket at a nearby facility, or like damaging something that's in operation that belongs to somebody, they would notice and get pissed.
So basically, in order to get the police out here, it would actually be really bad for the crew.
Yeah, it would be difficult, yeah. And then if they show up, you're not locals, right? So they probably have someone who would be able to be like, actually, you should arrest them and not us.
Okay.
I think what JP's saying is, Adam, can you promise us that the police will not come?
It depends on what happens with the chances of, like, there are no the police, but yeah, the chances of them showing up are pretty.
See, Jeff, you think inside the box. I'm actually trying to get the
police. You want the cops
here
to help you? Yeah.
I'm trying to set off a reaction that the cops come.
It's not that I think inside the box. It's that I'm conditioned by Neil to know that if anybody else comes, you're dead.
Yeah. Right.
So it's not.
No, that's true.
Help us, says the DM. Yeah, so Dragon's coming.
Yeah. My line of thought is that if I can get the cops en route, they're a bargaining chip and a conversation about the cops being here soon.
Yeah. Well, the Madari Syndicate and the Majidi Mandarinate are better allies than you are with either of those two factions.
Well, then never mind. The whole plan is fucked. Okay.
Yeah, they're leveraging. They can leverage better friends, tougher friends, and faster friends than you can, but you've got a Sicarian, so.
Yep. All right, yeah. If Prosper's in where he wants to be, then I guess I confirm that via text.
Mm-hmm. I am in position.
If there's like a, are you about to head to the door?
About to, yeah.
So I think like there's that moment where, nice Adam, shit.
Yeah, woo.
Where some hazel rolling. Piani actually gets the opportunity to like put out her. Oh,
what?
Nice.
Group all video right, is unavailable great at the moment. Please.
Great.
Try
you know because that makes a shitload of sense.
I can still imagine all of your faces.
We actually can't turn group video on.
You can imagine Kiska looking angry.
Oh, you guys can.
That's what she says.
Now it's back. Now it's back. Turn it back on.
That's so goof.
There we go.
Did Contini tell you that I'm talking to the people at Skype?
Yeah, I am as well. I can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I was incredibly blunt and forward in my initial email with them.
Yeah, same.
And they were like, awesome. This is exactly what we need.
Great. I cursed in mine. I called Skype a fucking piece of shit sometimes.
Nice. Fair.
And they were like, okay.
Yeah, it's a piece of shit. We just own everything. So we don't care.
Tough, but fair. Right, exactly. Yeah. So Piani puts her arms out. And I think there's a moment where she activates Omen and just goes, like, what's going to happen if we open up this door? Will immediate harm come to me?
So you're going to wait until, like, you go to open the door and be like, Omen?
Well, I mean, Omen can be activated even on, like, the act of we're going into this place. Like, that is a conscious decision that we're making to go into this place and that I can activate Omen off of that.
Okay. Let me see what I need to tell
reveal
you.
Reveal to us your plan.
Yes.
Straightforward choice. Open a box, swallow a pillar, go into a bar. Yep, okay. Distinct sense will result in physical injury or mental distress. Yes. Definitely.
Guys, like, I can confirm.
Yeah. That's gonna be a fight.
I just kinda like look at Pion and I'm just like, you should get some better powers.
Precognition.
Yeah. Oh,
all right. Don't say I didn't
like,
warn
you.
What?
Fuck you.
Yeah. We're coming in, fuckers. We know they're gonna fucking shoot us. All right. No, we don't.
All right. So the three of you are clustered around that door. I guess is the plan. You're just gonna go in.
Are y'all talking? Hang on. Are y'all talking on comms about how like there's some sort of a trap? Like this is seriously dangerous.
Yeah,
absolutely. I'm like,
yeah. No, the entire time it's like this is, you know, we're gonna shoot weapons.
Yeah.
Soon.
Now, like, I don't see any activity from my position, right?
No. I mean, you've been up there for like maybe all of 5 minutes.
So, yeah.
You just see walls and no.
Yeah. Does Prosper even have fucking windows to shoot into?
No, that's the point that I'm raising. I'm gonna say, hey, if you go in there, you are on the bad side of the trap. If you get them out here, we are on the good side.
Okay.
That's the whole point of me being up here.
Okay, yeah, then I knock. Okay. I knock on the thing.
All right. So the door has some kind of heavy lock you hear, like, open up. And somebody pulls the door open. Or actually, I guess it swings out. So they push it out. And there's a guy in, like camo, like fatigues. And over his breast, he's got a patch of, like, two red scimitars, like, crossed with, like, three, it's, like, slashes above it. It looks like a paramilitary. He's holding, like, a combat rifle, but he's holding it, like, down, right? So he, like, opens this other door, or this other hand, and yeah. He sees you. And he leans over his shoulder, and he, like, says something into the room in, like, Pashto or Urdu, and then looks at you, and he's like, Higgs?
Yes.
He gestures. He's like, come on in.
I'm aiming at the guy.
May I...
He's still inside, so you can't see him. You just see the open door and, like, maybe, like, the edge of his gun a little bit.
He's not poking his head out?
No.
But, sir, do you have a name before I come inside?
He says, you don't need to know my name.
Okay, well, I would just like to tell Miss Van Dorn that we're not coming inside, and if they wish to have a conversation with us, we'll be out here. Have a good day, and I'd go to shut the door.
Okay. Yeah, he takes a step back. You close the door. You hear him shout something, like, once the door is closed. It's muffled, but it's a bunch of stuff in Urdu. You catch the word asshole, and then... yep.
Okay. Yeah, then I guess I'm... I just look towards Sakari, and I'm just nodding, and Piani, I'm just like, eh, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I have the visor up, and I'm just, yeah.
Yeah.
Giving the not bad face, like...
Okay.
And then I think all we right. just kind of wait it out.
Sure. So... I don't know, a few more minutes, and the door opens again. You hear it click, so you can step back, and it swings open. And this time, the guy has his gun pointed at you, but it's so that you don't pull a gun on Rajani, who's standing, like, just to the side of him.
Yeah.
And she's standing there looking, like, annoyed, and she shakes her head, and she's like...
Is she in sight?
No. No, she's staying inside.
I don't have the shot. You need to get her outside.
So she's like, Higgs... Why do you have to make everything so fucking difficult? You're just here to pick up some cargo.
Yes, true. And you can just bring cargo around back. Is that where it's at?
No, he's inside.
Well, if he's... Let's refer to it as it. I mean, it's dead. It's a body, right?
She rolls her eyes. I didn't bring you here to talk semantics, Higgins.
Okay, well, I mean...
And we she lean out to, like, look... And the guy with the gun puts his hand on her shoulder and, like, pulls her back and says something again in, like, whatever language they're speaking. And she snaps at him. She's like, fuck you, and, like, pushes his hand off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she leans out and, like, looks back and forth, and she looks at you, Higgs, and she's like, I don't see a vehicle. Were you just going to carry him home? And then she, like...
Nah, we'll just, you know, we'll figure it out. We just need the body. That's all we came here for. It's just, it's us three, and then Prosper's around.
As this conversation's going, Sakarian kind of threw his calm on the suit or whatever, says, Mr. Johnny, you're an intelligent woman. The reason we're taking severe, I would say, precaution about the situation is because we believe that the thugs that ambushed Mr. Prosper last night were sent by the Syndicate under the belief that he was a part of some scheme to tamper with your interrogation, I suppose. So that's why we're here expecting combat. Is this something you know of?
She says to you, I don't know anything about any people coming to speak with you. We've been working with McCrary since we got to the planet, and now we're done with him. So that's all I know. Okay. Now, I have an associate who'd like to speak with Higgins.
And do you lean for that reaction at him? Like, do you want to take a test?
Yeah, you can make a perception with wisdom.
Okay.
Ain't right.
Yeah, the new transitions on XSplit are kind of they're interesting. Every once in a while, there'll be a full flare.
Seven.
Really?
Okay. So what do you want to know?
I mean, I guess I asked this question because I was anticipating. Getting some kind of read on whether or not she actually knows about that, or, you know, if her eyes lit up because
looking for like micro changes in her expression. No, she doesn't. She doesn't seem to. She's like, you mentioned, like, people came to your room or whatever, and she just blows it off. She's just like, okay, I don't know or care about that, so.
Okay.
Stop being paranoid and get inside.
I look at Mr. Higgs and I say, well, I'm like, is there any reason you can't bring the body out here? I mean,
she says, I think you'll understand when you see it.
Ah.
Oh, it's one of those. Oh, okay, I see. You know, you could have just said you mutilated the shit out of it.
She's like, what, and leave that kind of message on your voicemail? I don't think so.
Well, it's
just come inside.
Here, let's just do this. And I kind of look. I might regret this, but I think I'll be okay. You guys stay outside. If you don't feel comfortable coming in, then don't come in. And I walk in.
And Sakari goes, there it is. And then he comes in with him.
Okay. So are you going to come in too, Piani?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Okay. So she, Rajani...
She snaps. At least some, I brought a sandwich.
She snaps some order at the guy with the gun, and the guy with the gun goes outside. Like, he steps outside and, like, closes the door behind him and lights a cigarette and just, like, leans up against the door with his, like, rifle on his shoulder. Casts a cursory glance around. He looks at you, Prosper, but you have the sun. You have the sun behind you, and he kind of like squints and then like looks down and keeps smoking.
Yep, I take aim.
Okay. So you're in a when you come in, you're in like a small like office area that has been kind of like cleared. There's a desk near the back. It doesn't look like it's being used. There are a couple more of these armed guys in here. Same patch. And then there's another door across the hallway. The door's open, and you can see that there's a little ladder that goes down, or a staircase that goes down. And then the whole rest of the inside of this area, from here as you're... So she walks towards the stairs. You can follow her if you want. A guy walks behind you.
I do not go anywhere near the stairs.
I'm following, and I'm doing my scan around, looking for anything suspicious, I guess.
Okay, so you approach. There's these, like, dirty, like, windows, so that the foreman up in the upper area can see... below the area, and you can see once you get closer to them through the like dirt and grime on these windows that the entire area below has been converted into some kind of like working like warehouse. There's long rows of table. It looks like a sweatshop almost when you see it. Long rows of tables with people lined up on either side of the table, and from one end to the other, it looks like at the beginning, and they have these big plastic like 5-gallon drums. That look like if they from a distance, the analogy would probably be best if they look like they were full of like blue Kool-Aid, and people are taking scoops of this Kool-Aid, putting it on the table and sorting through it, and then they're passing along the stuff that they sort through off to the next person who's like putting it in bags, and they're stamping it, and they're like processing all this stuff into little like plastic squares. And then putting them into a big like crate, a big metal crate at the end.
Do I recognize what they're doing?
There is no question that immediately both of you know exactly what's going on here.
Is Reggie just walking in front of us?
Yeah, she puts her hand on the door and she turns around and she stops at the door, turns around and she picks up a respirator off of like a hanger, and she throws it to you, Higgs.
Yeah, I put it on.
Yeah, and she's like, you're going to want to use that because I need to have a conversation with you when we're done this walk. And she puts one on herself, and then the guard is also like fitting one onto himself.
Yeah, we need one for, we got a Piani back there if you have one.
Yeah, so Piani, they give you one.
I'm getting a little antsy, so I just radio on. I say, Mr. Higgins, is my trigger finger getting itchy?
Did we ever figure out a code word for the crew?
Yeah, we have one. Like, Sakarian and I have military like, code that's, yeah.
Maybe I unmute it and throw the code word into a normal conversation.
Yeah. Le pas de pamplemousse.
I ate the best goddamn omelet this morning.
Yeah.
Right. A phrase no one on the ship would ever say. Perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So when you go through the door, even through the... even through the ventilator, you have this like taste of like chemical in the air, the sort of bleach.
Chat saying country music, by the way.
That's the Mary Shades one.
And Yeah, and the workers don't pay you any heed when you walk through. You notice there's a couple of people walking up and down the like aisles, like looking at what people are doing. And Rajani casts a couple of looks back and forth at the tables, but doesn't really like stop at any point. And she leads you over to the sort of back corner, where there's a circular like a wheel built, set into the floor into a door. And she points at it, and one of the guys, the two guards that are following you with a gun, walks over. He swings the gun over on his back and starts turning the wheel.
Okay, I'm just waiting. Looking around.
Okay.
Does what is the wheel for?
Oh, it's opening a door on the floor.
It is, okay.
Yeah.
So we see that.
Yeah. She says to you like through the ventilator, basically she's like, yeah, the fumes. We do most of our work downstairs. It's nice no one cares on this planet. And she like gestures for you to like go ahead and climb down the metal ladder.
Oh, ladies first, by all means.
She bows, always the gentleman.
Yeah, that, and I care about myself.
Starts to climb down.
Okay, I go down as well.
Okay, so on the second floor, when you get down there, there's a hallway that runs in both directions with like metal grated, like protected light bulbs along the ceiling. It looks a bit like a bomb shelter or like a sheltered area. And she says, this way, and like Gara like walks you down a hallway.
What is this place?
She says, so she's like taking her mask off now, and she takes it off and like rubs her face, and she's like, I think it belonged to a Mandarin 5-6 years ago. We bought it out from him when he went under. Messy situation, but we got a factory out of it. The whole block belongs to us. It's useful. We keep it running sometimes to keep people off our trail, but I mean, we move around. It's been useful for now. She seems kind of like proud of it, like she brokered the deal or something.
Oh.
And you get to a door. It's like kind of like a metal, like submarine style door. Like it's a bit up off the floor. The guy opens it and pushes it open, and she steps in. Before she does, she's like, "Watch your step." To you, and steps over the metal and walks in.
Yeah, I walk in, watching my step.
Okay. All right. So you go into the room, and the guard closes the door behind you once you're inside. And the room is surprisingly like nicely accoutred for the fact that you're like in a sub basement under a warehouse. There's like a rug on the floor. There's some nice like wooden furniture. There's a table and some chairs around it. There's a Mahjong set on the table. Looks like it's mid-game. And when you walk in, you see that the room's like pretty big. It's like 6 by 6, like 6 meters by 6 meters. Maybe a bit bigger. And there's a little bar at the back. And you can see that in the room, there are two more guys with guns. They're just standing kind of guard. And then... sitting at the table, there's an older woman. She looks like she's like Middle Eastern, probably. Higgs, you recognize her right away. It's Calliopea. And at the bar, pouring a drink, he turns around and you see the familiar white mustachios of Mustafa Lee. And Rajani just says, "Well, I think everybody knows each other." And looks at you, and then looks at the chair, like looks at you, Higgs, and is like, "Sit down."
I kind of like look back at her and look at the chair, maybe like lean the chair on it on like its back legs, like moving it around. You know, just checking. I once sat on these, and someone put a knife right at the bottom. It was, anyways. Okay, we're good. We're good. And I sit down in the chair.
Okay, Mr. Sakarian, Piani, what are you doing?
I move. Casually pretty close to the two armed men.
Okay. In what way? Like, if you are you taking like a step toward them, or are you like what do you walk in, you see this, they close the door, or they go to close the door behind you. And she says, "Sit down." Higgs walks over to the chair.
Well, it's not like I'm like walking up to fight them, I'm just walking up to stand near them.
Okay. When they said sit down, were they like addressing all of us, or were they?
Yeah, there's enough chairs for everybody, but they were addressing Higgs primarily.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then I'm gonna stand behind where Higgs is sitting down.
Adam, okay. Right. The swan song is not repaired yet, right? It's not flight
it
ready.
It is flight ready, yep. It
okay. Is. Like, do any of y'all send any kind of, like, code yellow code word to me?
It's a bit racist, isn't it? I mean...
I have to agree with Jeff here.
Yeah, it's quite racist.
I'm gonna take a... Well, you know what? In these situations... Prosper,
I mean,
you're a military man.
Most of the people that are Iranian, but that's fine.
I just like the idea of, like, there's Asian people. I'll get the ship ready.
Prosper's like, a military man.
Yeah.
So it seems that me being the computer specialist and Morse code being the, you know, like a universally known language, that yeah. I could send a message to Prosper.
I've studied the classics. Yeah.
And I would even roll to see how accurate my message is, or, you know.
Well, so I mean, here's the thing, though. You know, you go to send him a message. Is it like a text message?
I can click. I'm like literally clicking my comm in Morse code to tell Prosper.
It's blocked, is what Adam just said.
I was gonna say you like go to look at your comm and you got no bars. You're underground.
Okay, so I'm like, crew of the Swan Song, Piani, Sicarian, come in, Sicarian. We agreed not to joke like this. God damn it, Higgins, this is not funny.
Don't do this to me.
So then I change channels. I say, L'enfant, we need the swan song en route immediately.
Okay.
No.
And I transmit my coordinates.
Okay, so Higgs, when you sit down, Kalaya... is in the middle of like playing a tile. So she like, plays the tile, and then she looks up at you. And just for everybody to like get reminding. So because we haven't seen Kalaya in a while, her and Rajani, like they look like they could be cousins. Like she's quite a bit older. She's probably in her early 50s, and Rajani's like in her late 20s. But they have some kind of like ethnic. They're comparable ethnically. Rajani's half white though. So she's older. She looks tough. Like she's got scars like on her face. You can see tattoos like on her neck. And she's dressed more like the military guys than she is like Mustafa Lee, who again, same ethnic group, but he's like older and is wearing like a white suit.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
I've smoothed everything out with Kalaya Bia in the past, right?
She still wanted to talk to you. I think that she was like you sent her a message and was like, I need to talk to you, but then didn't get a chance to like sit down and talk to her.
Okay, but we're all squared money wise and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if it was the money that she was for, but yeah. So you sit down and she says, Higgins, you're a hard man to track down. Could we finally get to have this conversation?
Well, thank you for the compliment.
And maybe that's a good place to take a break.
Okay.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
The cliffhangers you guys thought. Jeff called it last week. They're going to be more frequent now with the hour because we actually have a hard cut. So we'll be right back. Quick break, and we'll come back in hour 3. See you guys then.